What a joy to be together, and thank you for being here tonight, and what a privilege and an honor it is for me to be here as a part of your 50th anniversary. And I tell you, God has been good to this part of South Carolina. You've got a heritage that very few places in the country, you know, they don't even know what you're talking about. I go to some states and I talk about revival, I talk about the presence of God, the power of God, and they go, does that mean that we come two Sundays in a row, or what does that mean? And but you are blessed to have the fellowship of faith and the heritage. And whether it was J. Harold Smith down here in Dad's tent, and Brother Maccabee, Brother Larry, all those, you know, we're blessed with all the memories that we've got. And you think of all the camp meetings we've had, what we've enjoyed, what we've seen. But as we gather here tonight, we're meeting on a different ground, in a different atmosphere, and our country's changed. The last 4 years have changed America, and it's been unbelievable what we have seen and what we've lost. And there is only one answer, and it's not in a political party. It's in the power of God. We need revival, and it's got to begin at God's house with God's people. The world doesn't know how to revival. The world needs a resurrection. They are dead in trespass and sin. But you know about the power of God. You know about revival. You know what it means. And so I'm grateful that we can be here tonight, and I'm honored, and I thank you so much for the invitation. And how many of you are able to get our television program on Sunday morning on Fox 21, 8 a.m. on Fox Carolina every Sunday morning? And if you're not a viewer, I hope you will be. And then I hope you'll go to YouTube channel, Ralph Sexton Ministries, and I hope that you'll subscribe there. I just returned from Israel, our 60th trip into the nation of Israel. And we were down in Gaza and down in the kibbutz where the massacres occurred. And we made a documentary called Massacre of My People. And it's posted up there on YouTube. It's over 2 hours long. We've got a lot that are a lot shorter, but they gave me a lot of security footage that you can't see on a TV program, but we're able to air it on our YouTube channel. And so I hope that you'll go over there and subscribe. And if you can help us, here's a little, people are always saying, what can one person do? Well, if you can, while you're on your computer or your iPad, your phone, if you'll go over to Facebook, Ralph Sexton Ministries, and be our Facebook friend as well. Why do I say that? It changes the algorithm. Yes. And everybody across the country, right now, we're having people searching. What's going on? Is there getting ready to be war? Some people, is this the end of the world? And they're searching. Yes. And the algorithm getting activity on Facebook, YouTube, because it's around Israel, guess what? We pop up on their screen. We just heard from a family in California, and they were on there looking about the war and what's going on, and we popped up. They called all the way to Asheville, and you know what? Their voice was shaking. They're saying, we thought we had no friends. We didn't know anybody cared. We'd been told all our life that Christians hated Jews, and I said, you don't have to worry about that because we don't hate Jews. They say, Well, why don't you hate us? I said, a Jew died for me. And they've never heard that. They've never heard that. Isn't that something? And so God's opened the door, and it's been amazing. And about 4 days after that, we had a phone call from New York City, and a family was having dinner in a hotel restaurant, and you could hear the wife crying. They'd been all those marches during the day up at Columbia University, New York City University, and they were talking about gas the Jews. Can you believe that in America? They were saying, gas the Jews, send them back to Poland. Well, number one, they didn't come from Poland. They came from Genesis chapter 12 when Abram came out of the Ur of Chaldees and he brought them in the promised land, and that's been their home for 4,000 years. And so, and they had gone to the YouTube channel, they had seen that, And the wife was crying, and you could hear in the background saying, we didn't know who would be our friend. And said, the liberals, listen to what she said, the liberals that we funded in this country for decades, they're not speaking up. They've turned their back on us. And the only people that have stood up for us here's the term she used, the evangelicals. That means people that believe the Bible's the Word of God. So, isn't that amazing? So you're a part of that, and I want to thank you for that. So if you've got time, that is a little mission work you can do when you get home tonight. Go to Facebook, go to YouTube, subscribe. And then it really pops it again if you share it with a friend. And so a lot of you have a lot of followers. You can share that. And here's the reason we say that. God doesn't tell time with a clock. God doesn't use a calendar. God doesn't use a Timex or a Rolex. God uses the nation of Israel. And if Israel's in the news, you need to tighten up your seatbelt. We're getting ready to ride. So, and it's this, before we get to our cars, the Lord Jesus Christ could come. Somebody asked me yesterday, said, how close do you think we are? And I said, I believe they're opening the barn door, getting the horses out right now. Amen. Because he's coming, and it could be today. And what a privilege to be a part of your celebration. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 24 with me. And I'm going to read to you three or four verses there that the disciples are with Jesus, and they're on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus has just walked off the Temple Mount. And I want to try to let you understand where we are and how close we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, for the next moment or two, would you sober us and separate us from all of our worries and all of our cares? I pray, God, that you would take us into that place that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Do for us, God, what we cannot do for ourselves. God, I pray if there's one person here that's not saved, I pray this will be the night that the sweet Holy Spirit speaks to them. If there's one out of faith and fellowship, I pray this will be the night they come home. Then, God, for that Christian that's grown weary and well-doing, for that one that's going through a battle physically, emotionally, financially, I pray this will be a night of help and hope, and we'll carefully give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. A few hours ago, the Prime Minister of Turkey had a press conference in Istanbul. And a few hours ago, almost 3 hours ago now, he threatened to invade the nation of Israel. The world is getting ready for a third world war. When I left the house this morning, Norway was asking its people that are in Lebanon to leave in preparation of an impending war. By the time I pulled up here and parked, it's over 12 nations that are now pulling all their staff and all their embassies out of Lebanon. The world knows something is about to happen. They can feel it. Yesterday, we had something happen, and there was a rocket launched from over in Syria. Sir, you come over and help brother sit down right there with him, okay? He'll help you sit down. If not, I can. And so here's what we'll do. We'll see that this rocket was out of Iran, okay? And out of Iran, it was a new rocket, what we call the FLAC series. And you know what it is? It's called a Falcon 1. And the head on that thing has a warhead of over 50 kilos. That's 110 pounds of explosives. And you know what they did? They put that into a playground. They put it over into a soccer field and killed 12 children. 12 children. And that was Saturday morning about 10 o'clock. And because of that, the community that it's in, it's right up near the Syrian border, the northern finger of Israel, the community there has now said we're going to cross the border. The daddies, the granddaddies, the uncles, they said, if the Israeli army doesn't do anything, we're going to do it. We're going to go over and we're going to get revenge. So that rocket came from Hezbollah. Hezbollah is financed by Iran, okay? Iran is flush with money because for the last few years, we dropped the sanctions and they're selling oil to China. They're selling oil to North Korea and to Russia. Day before yesterday, the Russians met the Chinese at the northern border of the United States in the international waters of Alaska. And on a joint military maneuver, China, kings of the east, Russia, bear the north, flew into the airspace to the edge of the United States of America. They're saying in Europe and they're saying in Asia, America has never been this vulnerable and America has never been this weak. So those two nations, first time in modern history, listen to me carefully, China and Russia are working together against America. Yesterday afternoon, three Russian vessels landed 90 miles from the American coastline at Florida. Three Russian warships. We're coming across from Alaska, China, Russia. They did a scouting mission with a balloon. Now listen to me. They said they couldn't see it. The stupid balloon's big as a school bus. You can see it with your naked eye. Okay? And it did the scope and the scout. 350,000 acres of American farmland is owned by China. 350,000 acres. You say, what's going on? I'm telling you, we've been asleep on our watch and we're getting ready to lose our country. And if we lose our freedom, then we don't get to have church. The ultimate of all this is against the Word of God. That's the whole ultimate. China's atheist, Russia's atheist. All of this is a war. North Korea, you can't worship God there. Cuba, you can't have church there. Do you see what's happening? It's actually, we're seeing, and I'm going to read you a verse to document it here in just a moment, but we're seeing the ultimate preparation of the final battle between good and evil. And it's not going to happen, church. It is happening. And you're alive to see it. Now, Jesus was on the Temple Mount with the disciples. And you know what happened? He was there talking to them. And we're going to use our imagination for a moment. We're going to let the back of the auditorium be the Temple Mount. And we're going to let this piece of concrete here be the Kidron Valley. And then I'm going to be standing up here on the Mount of Olives. Guess what happens? As the disciples leave, they come out of the Eastern Gate. They walk on the land bridge. They come across the Kidron. They come up here and they sit down on a rock and they overlook the beautiful city of Jerusalem. Yes. The most beautiful building in the world is that second temple, shrouded in gold and silver. They said that when the sun came up in the morning, Jerusalem had two sunrises, one when it came over the city, one when the light hit that beautiful building. You'd have to shield your eyes. And then right above it, oh, God's in his house. The Shekinah glory is shining over there. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is talking to them. Look at 24:1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Okay? Now, verse 2 turns to red letters. So this is out of the mouth of Jesus. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, do you know when that's going to be thrown down? It's going to be 70 years from that moment he spoke that, 70 years later. The Roman army, remember, they're in charge. They're in this land. They're the ones that nailed him to a tree, the Romans. They crucified him. They invented that. And so in 66 AD, 66 years after Christ died, the Jewish people said, we can't take it anymore. We can't take it anymore. And they revolted. And the Caesar in Rome said, you can't do that. We're going to lose all the wealth and all the food and all the fish out of Galilee. And he got his best general, General Titus. And 4 years after the revolution started, 70 AD, he sent Titus on a flotilla, and they landed there at Joppa, they landed at Haifa, they landed at Caesarea Philippi, and they invaded back again, and they killed all the warriors. Now listen, four things Titus did. If you're making notes, you'll be able to understand the 11 o'clock news, because you need to know what he did. Number one, he killed all the warriors. Number two, guess what? If you survive, then he put you in chains and they sent you back down and put you on a Roman boat and they sent you around the world. Isn't that amazing? Titus said, there'll be no Jews in Israel. Now the Jews fled underground. They went down to Qumran. They went to Judea, Samaria. They went to the wilderness. Thousands hid out. But he said, there's not going to be any more Jews. And so, for you know those old movies where you see the guys down in those ships rowing and they're whipping them on the back? Well, for decades, the Roman Navy was powered by Jewish slaves from that. The Jews have a name for that day. It's called the Diaspora, when they were scattered. They were scattered around the world. Now, on our watch, 2024, they're coming home. They're coming in. And Jesus said, right before I come back, my people are going to start coming home. And how can that be? There's not even an Israel nation. Well, but he said, by the time I'm ready to come, there'll be a nation. And May 14, 1948, Israel was born. So you're living to see all these things. Number three, what did General Titus do that was powerful? He tore down this temple. He tore it down. And he set it on fire. And all that gold and all that silver, guess what it did? It melted and ran down through the mortar joints. And so when the Roman army, the building cooled off, Titus said, I'm going to give you a bonus. If you want the gold and silver that melted, then you go up there on the Temple Mount and take every stone apart and get the metal, the gold and the silver out of there. And Jesus said, boys, see what you're looking at? He said, there's something coming and not one stone will be left upon another. And God's word is fulfilled to the jot and to the tittle. 70 years later, God proved that Jesus was his son and that the word of God was real. What's the fourth thing he did? This will help you at the 11 o'clock news tonight. He changed the name. He said, I've killed the Jews. I've took the rest prisoners. I've torn down their temple. There's no Jews here. And I don't want anybody to ever say Israel again. He said, I'm going to rename this land. And he changed the name to it. See if it sounds familiar. Palestinia. Yeah. Right. Palestinia. Right. 70 AD is where the word Palestine came from in modern times. Yes. Isn't that something? Yeah. And so a Roman general said, we'll call it Palestinia. And now you got college students in America shouting, from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. They don't even know what they're shouting. Some of them stopped the other day. I asked, what river? Well, I'm not really sure. Maybe it's the Nile. No, it's not. It's the Jordan River. And what's the sea? Atlantic? No, it's the Mediterranean. And what they're saying is that from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean, there'll be no Jews. That means there'll be no Israel. I don't have time to go into it tonight, but you can read about that proclamation. It's also in your Bible when you go to Psalms 83. And it says right before the Lord comes back, they'll have a big meeting and they'll plan that the name of Israel shall be no more. And it's not going to happen. It is happening. All right, go to verse 3. And here's the three questions people are still asking today. Here they are. As they sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, question number one, when shall these things be? That's number one. Number two, what shall be the sign of thy coming? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And then here's question number three, and what shall be the sign of the end of the world? Now, ladies and gentlemen, human nature is still asking those same questions. And you're alive to see it. You can understand it. So right before the Lord comes back, people are going to be asking. And so I heard a guy early this morning about 5 o'clock on an international channel from Europe. And he said what they had at breakout this morning in France and yesterday morning is somebody sabotaged the rail system of the nation. Over 1 million people were stranded. People that had spent 4 years practicing for the Olympics, they never got to go to the Olympics because they were stranded 20 and 30 miles outside of Paris. And you know who sabotaged it? Iran. Iran sabotaged the system through the Islamic jihadists that was inside of Paris. Do you see there's a war today? And when they did the opening ceremony and they're coming up the Seine River with all the floats, all the boats, guess what? When the Israelis came, they threw stuff and they shouted and they booed and hissed. But when they came holding the Palestinian flag, the crowds cheered. Do you understand? And there was a man got on the internet there with a mask today, and he said, before this is over, the blood of the Jews will run in the streets of Paris. Wow. We're going to kill them all before they leave the country. Now, where is all this coming from? Well, it's a battle between good and evil. Have you ever noticed that people right now are really edgy? Have you ever noticed right now people that are not happy? Have you noticed that they're grumpy and when you go to Walmart and the greeter don't greet you anymore? Get your buggy, get it in the store and get out of my face. Huh? I mean, what's going on? Everybody knows something's about to happen. And you can feel it. So go with me to Ephesians, if you would. You're already in the New Testament. And just flip right over, and we're going to go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6. I want you to listen carefully to the words, because the purpose of this camp meeting has always been to have preaching that gets the church ready for the coming of the Lord. That we would be disciples of the book. My little motto this year for myself and for our ministry has been this: me in the book and the book in me. Huh? Me in the book and the book in me. Why? Because I can't watch the news with Ralph eyes. I've got to watch it with Bible eyes. And what's the nickname we have for that? Brother Robert, he's been to the Bible college there. And I'll tell you, it's called a biblical worldview. And Brother Day, he hammered that to all the students. A biblical worldview, a biblical worldview. Brother Todd Bell, you got to have a biblical worldview. Brother Robert, you got to have a biblical worldview. And both of my boys, Mark, Kent, you got to have a biblical worldview. Why? Because you can't live in this world with your eyes and survive. You've got to have the Word of God to look through. So when I go to Ephesians 6, look at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of something. What? His might. Not Baptist might, not Methodist might, not Presbyterian, not my might, but in His might. So verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Now watch this carefully. The phrasing is important. That ye may be able to stand. You may be able. What does that mean? That means that a lot of people are not going to make it. They're not going to stand. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about getting the wind knocked out of you. Did you ever play football? Yeah. Have you ever had the quarterback go hike and then all of a sudden you come and you're back here about 10 yards on your backside? Yeah. Huh? And you're going, because some big guy just put his shoulder pads right in your solar plexus. Yeah. And then all your buddies get around you and they say, shake it off. And you're going, if I live, I'm going to shake you off. I can't get any air in my lungs. Do you remember that? Fall down, get the wind knocked out of you. Well, that's what he's talking about here. If we don't have the power of God in us, the world's going to knock the wind out of us. You won't be able to stand. You're going to be overwhelmed. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But mom and dad, grandparents, you're going to have to be strong, because our children and our grandchildren, they don't have the heritage that we grew up in. Your kids don't have 50 years of camp meeting.
Right.
Huh? You do, but the babies don't. And so how are we going to protect them from what's coming, that you may be able to stand? And then what's the next part of that verse? Against the what?
Wiles.
If I read that to you in the Greek New Testament, you know how it would read? That you may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil, against the snares of the devil. And Brother Clifford, this is the one I really got to study in. Against the ambush of the devil. You're looking this way, and all of a sudden you get hit from behind. You know what you figure out if you get old enough? Devil doesn't play fair. Devil don't have a rule book. If he can't get you to quit, he'll try to hit somebody you love. Break your heart. Take your tears and burden. He don't play fair. If he can, you know what he'll do? If he can't get you distracted, then he'll discourage you. If he can't get you discouraged, then he'll depress you. You understand? That's what we're talking about, that there's going to be warfare. And you've never seen the church people going through such battles. But the reason we're going through it is because the king's coming. I mean, he's getting ready to come. Now here's the text verse, verse 12. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. What we're up against here tonight, you can't see. It'd help if you could see it. It'd be easier. But against what? Principalities. Please notice this. There's a comma after principalities. So whatever the other things are, it's different from principalities. Notice this next part. Against powers. Then what's after powers? Comma. So principality and powers, two different worlds. But they're both black and evil and dark. Powerful. It's powerful enough to knock a Christian down. Powerful enough to take us out, destroy my family. See? How many of you know somebody that you thought would love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and body, and 2 years later, they're not in church? Huh? How many preachers have we seen fall this year? How many giant ministries have we seen folded up this year? Huh? What does that tell you? There are no supermen, no superwomen. We're just people, and we got to have God on our life. Right. Then look at this next one. Rulers of the darkness of what? This world. So what's Jesus saying? He's saying that this is not your home. You say, well, I thought God was in charge. God made this world. He did. But listen to me. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil in Matthew 4? And he took him up on the mountain. And he did. He said, if you will just bow down and worship me. Said, we'll make a deal here. And remember the things he offered him? He said, you fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I know you're hungry. So prove that you're the Son of God. Turn these rocks into bread. That's not a problem. Jesus can do that. He can put yeast rolls with butter on it. That ain't a problem. But the problem is me. I can't do that. So he said, I'm not going to do that because Ralph's behind me. So he said, I'm going to defeat you with a word because Ralph will have the word. You get a hold of that? And he said, go to the temple. And he said, throw yourself off. The Sadducees, the Pharisees are in there. When they see you fall down and not be killed, they'll know you're the Son of God. They'll believe. He said, I could, but I won't. Why? Ralph's behind me. Ralph can't do that. He don't even have a cape, let alone be Superman. So he said, but he's got the word, and he used the word. Let me give you number three. This is the one you have to take home with you. He took him up on top of Mount Hermon, the highest mountain in the Middle East. Took him up there, an exceeding high mountain. And guess what he said? Now, watch the words. He said, if you will bow down and worship me, think what he said. No, he didn't use bow because bow is breaking a knee. He told Jesus when he got that on that top of that mountain, he said, fall down. fall down. What happens when you fall down? You completely surrender everything. You're stretched out on the ground. You're not bending a knee and bowing to a king. You're prostrate. You surrender everything. And the devil said, if you will bow down, no, if you'll fall down, he said, I'll give you everything that you see. I'll give you all these cities. He's showing him Egypt. He's showing him Jordan. He's showing him Israel. He's showing him Saudi Arabia, because you can see them all from that mountaintop. And he's showing him all the cities and all the villages. Well, how can the devil give Jesus all those cities unless he owns them? And most people read it and never think about it. The rulers of darkness of this world. That's why you don't feel at home. That's why some mornings you wake up tired. You go to bed and you wake up and you say, I'm wore out. You fought the devil all night long. You ain't home. The devil could, he'd kill you. He'd kill every one of us. There wouldn't be one Christian alive to be back here tomorrow night if he could do it. But God has put the blood of his own son around us to protect us and to keep us. And that's the joy that we have as a people of faith, that we can serve God and know God and be covered by that. And he said that we'll have that assurance, that we'll know beyond any shadow of a doubt. And so that's what he's talking about. And look what he says, the last one. Against what? Spiritual wickedness where? Have you been amazed at how quickly your country's turned its back on God? There's a verse of scripture we need to pay attention to, Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3. The Bible says, I will bless them Amen. That bless thee. Amen. And then he said, I'll curse them that curse thee. And the horror that I've experienced in my head over the last few weeks and months is not only what I went to Israel, not only that I went down to the kibbutz where the massacre occurred, not only that I was in homes where Hamas took the children and tied them up and set them on fire and made the parents watch. And then in the next house, they tied up the parents, set them on fire, and made the children watch. And then in the next house, they beheaded the babies. I can't even tell you in mixed company what all that we witnessed and what all that we saw. And you're thinking, where did that darkness come? Where did that evil come? Over 3,000 Hamas soldiers came in to the Kibbutz Be'eri area where I was. And the devastation, they went right by the military. They went by right by the outpost. They didn't want the military. They wanted the citizens. I was just in the field where the music festival was, where all those young people were killed in one day. Over 1,200. And in addition to that, since October the 7th, over 800 civilians have been killed in Israel. Can you believe that? And the greatest death toll since the Holocaust. And where did all that evil come from? Where's that all about? It's a war between good and evil. And it's a battle between, believe it or not, a false religion and the God we love and serve. And you are living to see this. And God said, right before the Lord comes back, you'll be an eyewitness. Now, how do we know how close we are to the coming of the Lord? I get that question almost every day. How long is it? Are we close? Well, let me tell you. Here's how you'll know. God put two things in the Bible so that you would know. You wouldn't have to ask a TV preacher. You wouldn't have to ask a seminarian. You wouldn't have to ask an encyclopedia. You wouldn't have to get a book on prophecy. God said, I'm going to put it in the Bible. He said in the Gospels, the way you'll know it's time for the Lord to come, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming Son of Man. Now, God knows us, right? We're Baptists, right? Said it down on a sign, said we're Baptists. You know what, Baptist? If I could take my MacBook computer and I could take my big screen and I could take all of my illustrations from the Holy Land and all my research and I could prove to you, by any shadow of a doubt, that the Lord's coming next Friday at 12 at noon, do you know what we would do? Nothing.
Right.
Till Thursday?
Yeah.
We're Baptists. I ain't gonna waste a whole week. But I will have revival on Thursday. Huh? Is that, let's be honest. Just get down there where it hurts. Just be honest. If I can prove it, then you kiss your mother-in-law. Yeah, no, you would. Mama, I love you. I don't know about a devil, Mama, but I do love you. Why? Lord's coming in the morning, Mama. Your front yard would look like a flea market. There'd be fishing rods. You've been looking for them. Over at Fred's house. Fred's had them for 3 years, been using them. Hid them in his boat so you wouldn't see them. But the Lord's coming in the morning. He's going to bring them back, along with that chainsaw he borrowed last year. In your front yard would be full of hammers and saws and people making restitution. I borrowed $50 from you last year, and I forgot it. I mean, I almost forgot it. But the Lord's coming in the morning. They'd be in pastor's office. Pastor. Well, me and Mama, we went to the bank this morning. We cashed the CD. Here's $25,000 for missions. Here's $50,000 for the building fund. He knows that check ain't all clear. Lord's coming in the morning. Think about it. What do? We act like it's not real. We act like it's fiction. If we believed it, we'd live it like every day. You wouldn't put off witnessing to somebody or telling them you love them and that you're praying for them. You want them to go to heaven with you. But on that Thursday, you might even speak to your next door neighbor. You don't even know. But that's what happens. So you know what God did? God hid it. And God said, the church, you need to be ready. You need to be watching. And in every day. That's for the church. That's not for the world. Don't get confused. Bible prophecy is not for the world. Prophecy is for the church. And why? That you not grow weary in well-doing. He said, when you see all these things that Ralph just talked about, don't grow weary in well-doing. He said, when you see all these things, forsake not the assembling. Don't lay out of church. If you believe he's coming, you need Sunday morning and Sunday night. Some of you need Monday night too. I mean, but that's just where we are. See, he's talking to us. So he hid that we'd be watching and we'd be waiting. So he said, as it was in the days of Noah. But then there's another one in that same chapter. He says, as it was in the days of Lot. What do you mean, Brother Ralph? It's not just going to be Noah days, and it's not just going to be Lot days. So what was Noah days known for? It was known for violence, prosperity, and free time. A lot of free time. Do you know what the researchers just told me year before last, I was in a seminar. They said, Ralph, there were more people, Brother Larry, it's gotten me to thinking. Said there are more people alive in Noah's day than there is today. I said, what do you mean? Said, well, they're living 300 years, 400 years. Said, you read some of those. Said, they didn't even start having babies till they're 100 years old. And they're still having them at 400 years, 500 years, 600 years. They're living 800 years. Several of them live 900 years. And so the population of the world was, it was just everywhere, people everywhere. And that was why it was so powerful. God said, the only way for me to stop this is I send a flood and let Noah preach all those years and nobody would listen. As it was in the days of Noah. Isn't that something? And what was Lot days? Lot days was prosperity, free time, and perversion. What about that? So what God told me and you, Ralph, you want to know how close you are to the coming of the Lord? Not going to be just Lot days. It's not going to just be Noah days. But when Lot days and Noah days start happening at the same time, violence and perversion. You tell me what your grandmama and your granddaddy and your mama and your daddy that are already in heaven would think that we told them we were allowing homosexuals to dress up like women and come to our public schools and read stories to our babies. Huh? You say, Brother Ralph, I wouldn't have said that. That's why God called me to preach. He knew I would say that. How wicked is that? How vile is that? How perverted is that? And we act like we didn't hear them. Huh? And at the same time, I was just in New York City, and they got a knockout game on TikTok and some of the other Instagrams. And the teenagers, and you get off the subway, and one of the teenagers will be waiting, and they'll hit you in the face. And then if you fall on your knees, they get so many points. If you fall on the sidewalk, you get so many points. If you lose consciousness, you get so many points. And if you fall on the subway track, you get so many points. Just violence. Our video games have gone with the technology of today, the graphics. You can't tell what's animated and what's real because of AI. Huh? And it's all feeding on violence, it's on blood. Do you know the most rented movies in America, most watched movies in America on cable, the most that are bought? It's what we call slice and dice. It's horror movies. And so we're feeding on the violence and we're feeding on the perversion. And Jesus said, the way you'll know that I'm nigh even at the door, that the perversion and the violence will be going on at the same time. And buddy, we're here. Now I'm going to read you, take your Bible and go to the book of Genesis. And let's go to Noah days. Amen. Go to chapter number 11. Now we're in the middle of the sons of Noah in chapter 10. And then in chapter number 11, I want you to see something. When it says here that the Lord confused their languages, it says that there's going to be chaos and confusion in chapter 11. And behold, the people is one, verse 6, and they have all one language, and they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have what? Imagined to do. Are you not shocked at what people are saying and seeing and doing? And what are they doing? They're living out their imagination. And their hearts are already fixed on the wickedness and the ungodliness. So he said, because of that, I'm going to judge it. All right? Now back up in Genesis to where all this starts. Go to chapter 6. And you'll see that restraint that's missing in chapter 11. They're doing their own imagination. So I've got the perversion, okay? And then that's the word corruption or corrupt. All right? So now look, I'm going to read you this verse. Genesis 6, verse 11. The earth also was what? Corrupt, perversion before God. And the earth was filled with what?
Violence.
Now, listen to me carefully for the next 30 seconds. I'm going to read that verse out of the Hebrew Bible. I'm going to read it in Hebrew. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with Hamas. You ever heard that word, Hamas? God said it'll be in the news right before Jesus gets here.
Amen.
And the earth was filled with Hamas, Hezbollah, Houthis, Islamic jihadists. It's all a war against Jehovah God and His darling Son Jesus. And you are like, before you get to the car, Jesus could come. I want to tell you something else, but I feel burdened to stop right there for a minute. Would you just bow your head with me for a minute? There's somebody here that if you died right now, or if Jesus were to come, you're not saved, you're not sure you're saved. And God spoke to you. With our heads bowed, would you just do me a favor? No one moving unless you're sick or got to go to work. But just with our heads bowed, is there one say, Pastor Ralph, if I died right now, or if Jesus were to come, I'm not saved, I'm not sure I'm saved, pray for me. Nobody's going to come to you embarrassed. I just want to pray for you. God bless you, sir. Is there another one? Just slip that hand up and down. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody? Just slip that hand up and down. We want to pray. We're going to have a word of prayer. Anybody say, Brother Ralph, I believe I've been saved, but I'm not where I need to be. I'm out of faith and fellowship. I want to get ready before the Lord comes. Would you slip that hand up for prayer? God bless you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. My, multitude of hands. Who else God spoke to? God bless you. Thank you. Last question. How many would say, Brother Ralph, I've got a son out in the world. I got a daughter. I got a grandchild. I got a parent. I got somebody I love, my best friend. If we're that close to the Lord coming, my friend's not ready. I'm burdened over them. While you're talking, I saw them. Would you raise your hand? You want to pray for them. I want you to stand quietly and reverently. And I want the musicians to play, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Hear My Humble Cry.